All right, if you want to take your Bibles, let's go together to the book of James, chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I want to just say a shout out to everybody over at East York. We trust that this will be a day when you will as well enjoy the presence and the grace of God. We wish that we were together with you today at our picnic, and we waited until the last minute to make that call, hoping that the weather would change, but it didn't. So we hope that you guys have a great day and a great time over there in at East York today. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 are the verses that we're going to be looking at today as we close and bring this amazing book of James to a conclusion with a message this morning entitled, Rescuing Wanderers. Rescuing Wanderers. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, thank you today for the privilege of hearing from you and opening up your word. I pray that today that you would speak deeply to our hearts and minister to us as we seek you, as we expose our souls, God, to your truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was younger, I took a life-saving course and became a certified lifeguard back in my teenage years. And one of the things I recall that we had to learn was that if we were trying to save somebody who was drowning, we had to be very, very careful because somebody who is drowning is oftentimes, of course, terrified. They're hysterical. They're not always thinking correctly. And with all the adrenaline going through their body as they try to save themselves, they have superhuman strength. And so as lifeguards, we were taught to approach somebody like that very, very carefully because that strength that they are experiencing could actually pull the rescuer down underneath the water. And so there has to be great care as you try to rescue someone. What I think is true of people drowning is also true of people who are wandering. We have to be careful. We have to be tender. We have to be wise. We have to be used by God. And I wonder this morning how many of you have ever wandered off and gotten lost, not only literally, but maybe even spiritually. I remember one time when we lost our young son in a department store. I think it was a JCPenney, as I recall. And he had gotten away from us for some reason, and all of a sudden we realized that he wasn't there, and so we were frantic. And those of you who are parents, you've been there probably as well. We were looking everywhere for our son. We started raising our voices. We were running around the store. We went outside into the mall looking for him, looking under the clothing racks. And so finally, I just kind of moved one little rack of clothing. And there that stinker was, right underneath that clothing, sitting there smiling at us. I wanted to hug him and swat him, you know, all at the same time. Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've emphasized here in James from the start is this idea that as Christians, we should be moving toward progression. We should be progressing in our faith, not expecting perfection. In fact, I love the idea that we actually do not get to arrive on this side of heaven. That God is always at work in our lives, that He is always shaping us into the people that He wants us to be. And in fact, I think that if you and I would arrive, as it were, if you and I would get to the place where we no longer think we need to grow and change, would that be a good thing? Would that not be a marker that God's work is somehow completely done in us? And in fact, those of us who might think that we would ever get to that place and we've gotten to that place, I want to just say this. I think we'd be impossible to live with because we'd be so full of pride. No, God is never finished with us. This side of heaven, can I get a witness on that, church? God is always working in our lives. God is always shaping us in our lives. And even when we wander away from Him, He works to bring us back and to shape us into the people He wants us to be. That, I believe, is why James writes these last two verses here of his letter, James chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. Because sometimes as we progress in the Christian life, we will lose our way and wander. We haven't planned it. We never thought we would do it. There may be times in our lives when we can't even imagine wandering away from God, but there we are. We're off course. Something has set us off, and we're in the weeds. And maybe you're here this morning, and you've found that you've been wandering away from God, or you know someone, or you love someone who is wandering away from God. James, I think, has some amazing words to wanderers today and those who love them. Let's look at this passage. James 5, beginning at verse 19. Here's what he says. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth. I believe right there, church, he's not talking about unsaved people there. He's not talking about somebody who's never become a Christian. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. He's talking about those of us who are in the family who find ourselves wandering. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. The first thing I want us to think about is this, church. First of all, James is saying anyone can wander. Anyone can wander. And here in these verses, James uses a very interesting word two different times. It is the Greek word planeth or planao. We get our word planet from that. And that Greek word that we get our word planet from is actually found two different times in this text. The first time it's found in verse 19 and it's translated wander. The second time it's found is in verse 20 and he's talking there about the error or the wandering of our way. Now, back in the day when James wrote this, it seemed to the people like the planets were wandering through space. And that is why they took that word, planeth, and used it to describe the planets, right? We know, of course, that's different. That's not true in our day and age. We understand that the planets are not wandering through space, that the planets actually have a course, and the planets in that course are wandering, not wandering, but going around the sun. And so I don't know about you, but I love that analogy. I love how the two of those things connect because we as believers are on a course as well, are we not? We revolve around not the S-U-N, we revolve around the S-O-N. And life is best lived. Life is best connected. Life is wonderful when you and I are revolving around the Son of God, when we are walking with Him, when all that we do in the end is connected to and shaped by Jesus. But let's be honest with ourselves today, we all can wander. In fact, we've all wandered. We've all gone off course. We've all drifted at times from God's best. There's no one here today in this church who hasn't wandered. There's no one who's ever led worship in this church. There's no one who's ever stood on this stage. There's no one who's ever led this church who at one time in their lives haven't wandered. And I think there are all kinds of wandering. And I want to notice, I want you to notice, I think first of all, there's what I want to call theological wandering. Those times when we drift from believing, when we begin to doubt God's word, when we're not sure about the faith, we have all kinds of questions, and that causes us to kind of wander away from Him. Secondly, I think we also can wander morally. I've seen this happen so many times. Wander morally. People say, you know what? I know what the Bible says about this, but right now my actions, my sin feels so good. I actually love my sin more than I love the things of God, and so just leave me alone. I've actually had people from this church tell me that when we've gone after them as they've wandered morally away from God. And then I think as well we can wander relationally. We can kind of slowly drift away from God and His people. We can actually get to the place where we come to church, where we look the part, where we do all the things we're supposed to do as quote-unquote good Christians, But the truth of the matter is that our hearts are far from God. One of our hymns that we sing from time to time even speaks about this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. All of us can wander. And maybe you're here this morning and you're wandering, or you know someone, or you love someone who's wandering from God. The second thing that James wants to say to us, I believe he wants to tell us that wandering is dangerous. Wandering is dangerous. If you're here today and you're wandering in any way, you are in a very, very bad spot. And here is why. James says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Wow. I think James is trying to help us understand, church, that it is always a very serious thing when we wander. That's why he says this. He says there in verse 19 that we wander from the truth. That's a key word in the text. He says that we also are in danger of death, another key word in the text. He says that when we wander away from God, that we open ourselves up to a, quote, multitude of sins, a key phrase as well in that text. James is talking about what I think is a death-like existence. I don't think he's talking about a physical death here in this text. I think he's talking about spiritual death. I think he's talking about emotional and mental death, a lifestyle that is characterized by numbness and deadness on the inside. Church, is that not what happens when somebody walks away from God and begins to wander from him? That's why James brings up and uses that word sin. It's a huge word in this text, church. He's telling us here that when we bring somebody back, look at what it says there, that we cover over a multitude of sins. Wow. We cover over a multitude of sins. And so if you and I decide that we're going to reach out to somebody who needs to come back, what we do is this. We save that person from making a bigger mess of their lives, right? We spare that person's family. We spare even that church from the damage that is done by their waywardness. Listen to me, church. It always hurts other people. It always hurts the church when somebody decides to wander from God. It puts you, it puts your loved ones, it even puts your church in a dangerous and a precarious position. I remember a number of years ago, I was dealing with a young man in one of my former churches who strayed. This guy strayed far from God. I'm happy to say today that eventually he came back to God, and today he's walking with the Lord. But I remember when we restored him, and we restored him on a Sunday night. Those were the years when the church would actually come back to church on a Sunday night. Everybody. But I remember that night when that young man who'd walked so far from God came back and stood in front of our congregation. He was a big, brawny weightlifter. And our church had lovingly reached out to him and had gone the whole distance in Matthew chapter 18. And we finally said, listen, we're going to have to dismiss you and not affirm that you are somebody who is walking with God. And eventually, as I said, he came back and he stood in front of our church that night and he wept. Whoa, he wept. And we received him back. I loved the fact that at the end of that service, that was a long line of people waiting to see him and to reach out to him and love him and bring him back into the fold. But I remember when he was fully restored, I asked him what it was like straying from God. And he said these words. He said, it felt like I was being pulled farther and farther out to sea. And all my friends were on the shoreline hurling accusations. But there was actually one person who swam out to me, put a life jacket on me, and even though I fought him, refused to let me go. He said he was the single reason why I'm back. Wow. Anyone can wander. Wandering is dangerous. Dangerous. But what do we do with wanderers? How do we respond to those who might wander from the faith? Well, look at what it says there. It says that if someone should wander, somebody should bring him back and save them from a multitude of sins. How do you bring somebody back? What's involved in doing that? And I've got a few things I want you to think about here. Number one, I think we have to love them. Are you with me, church? I think we have to love them, because when we open ourselves to sin, you ought to get this down. It's not in your notes this morning. This is for free. When you and I walk away from God, sin always does two things to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 says that sin deceives us and sin hardens us. So true. And I've seen it. You know, in my own life, I've seen it in the lives of people that I love. Sin deceives and sin hardens. And so our heart begins to harden. Our actions grow increasingly dark and aggressive. But you know, there's a great verse in the Bible. It's actually found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. You can turn there if you want. If not, I'm going to give it to you here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Peter is talking about some of the same things. And listen to what he says there in those verses. He says, above all else, keep loving each other deeply. Keep loving each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Wow. And so love is something that woos somebody back. Love is somebody that helps turn a brother or a sister back from their wandering. I think, first of all, we have to love them. Karen and I used to watch this show on TV a number of years ago called The Dog Whisperer. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Caesar and the Dog Whisperer, right? And in fact, I learned some good things there. We actually had a dog during that time. I used to try what I learned on the show on the dog, but he'd always be like, get off me, you know? And he'd just kind of keep on doing his disobedient thing. But I remember one time watching that show, The Dog Whisperer, and Caesar was there, and he was trying to save this very aggressive dog from biting. It was biting people and all that stuff. And the owner would try to rough the dog up. And so every time the dog was aggressive, the owner would be aggressive as well with the dog, and the dog would get more aggressive, and the owner would get more aggressive, and it just wasn't working. And so I remember Caesar kind of stopping the guy in his tracks and saying something like this. He said, you know, your dog is the kind that once they're elevated, if you elevate, you're going to elevate your dog further. And it's just going to keep going on. And that dog is going to keep elevating, keep getting more aggressive until you stop being so aggressive. So calm down, he said. De-elevate. Stop getting so rough. I think that's true of wanderers. Are you with me, church? We have to love them. I think, secondly, we have to be tender with them as well. We have to be tender with them. I remember when I was a young boy, I was playing football one day. This was like sandlot football, and I was tackled into a pine tree. And I'm not even sure why that happened, but anyway, they tackled me, and I went flying into this pine tree, and I got a pine needle stuck in my eye, and it broke off. And I went back to my house, and my parents were looking at it. They couldn't see anything because you couldn't see. It wasn't visible to the naked eye, but it was clearly irritated. And I remember kind of living like that, even going to church that next Sunday like that. But eventually, they realized there was something wrong. And so they took me to this ophthalmologist. And I don't remember much about it other than the guy was so amazingly tender to me as he kind of like did something with my eye. I'm not sure what he did, put it to sleep or froze it or something, and reached in with some kind of a pliers and took that thing out of my eye. You know, the Bible talks a lot about rescuing people. In fact, Scripture is full of it. In fact, church, are we not here this morning because God has been on a rescue mission to bring us back to where we should be? Praise God for that. All throughout the Scripture, God talks about this. And in fact, one of the places is in Isaiah chapter 53, one of my favorite verses there. Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to our own way. We have wandered away from God," Isaiah says, "like sheep. We've wandered away. But the Lord has laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." He's talking about a God who has tenderly reached out in the person of Jesus and brought us back to himself. And nobody's saying this is easy work. Nobody's saying that people aren't going to say back to you, "Who do you think you are? You know, you've got your own issues." But I think if we love them, we'll keep after them, and we'll be tender with them. And then finally, I want you to see that not only are we called to love them and be tender, but I want you to see in the text, church, thirdly, that we all have a part in the work of in the work of bringing a wanderer back. Listen to what he says there. He says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back," remember this, "whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Did you notice that James isn't talking there just to pastors or elders? Not all of us are pastors or elders, but all of us should have pastors and elders' hearts. Look at what James talks about somebody doing this. James talks about whoever doing this. When he uses those words, folks, he's leaving the door open for any Christian to act. And so I think James is saying to us here that we are in this together, that the church is a community, that we are called, all of us, to look after each other and care for each other and reach out. Any one of us, reach out to those who might be wandering. Imagine a church that gets knee-deep with wanderers. Imagine a church where the lost and the wandering are welcome, where Jesus Christ regularly shows up. Imagine a place where those who are straying in any way, theologically, morally, or even relationally, can come and confess, can find help, stay back on track. I don't know about you, church, but that's my kind of church. I love straying people. We have a heart for them here at this church. I don't know about you, but I think about wanderers at night. I think about wanderers before I go to bed at night. Sometimes I wake up at 3:30 in the morning thinking about the people in my care who I know are wandering. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and wanderers are just right on my heart, right in my head. That's why we have ministries like Celebrate Recovery and smaller groups and men's and women's mentoring and counseling and sexual integrity. And by the way, there's also a study this summer on the West Campus for women with talking about God's promises. It's why we have a marriage ministry. It's why we have so many of these ministries and these events designed to help keep us on track so that we don't wander from God. Let me ask you today, who do you know who's wandering? Are you wandering? What's it going to take to get you back? What's it going to take to get those in your life who are wandering back? It's so easy to say, "I'm just not going to get involved." It's so easy to say, "I think I'll just keep out of that, you know. It's so easy to say, you know, she's a lost cause. Aren't you glad, church, that somebody didn't pronounce you a lost cause? Glory to God for that. And as James brings this amazing letter to a close, he reminds us that anyone can wander, anyone, pastors, elders, Bible study leaders, ministry leaders, anyone can wander. Wandering is dangerous, dangerous. And those who have a heart for wanderers are blessed. Look at what it says there. James is saying, look what you do when you reach out to somebody who's wandering. Look at the good work you do. It's God's good work to reach out in the name of Jesus and bring a wanderer back. Are you wandering? Come back. Come back today. Do you know somebody who's wandering? By the grace and the mercy of God, reach out and seek to bring them back. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow together this morning and pray.